For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as a travail upon a woman, or birth pains, travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. He says, well, to know better. Well, to know. Amen? Amen. And the only way we're going to know is by the word of God.
Amen.
Not our feelings, but by the word of God. Now, God has a timetable. God has a time. There's a time appointed. If you go back and read the Bible, you'll find there's a time appointed for everything. There are no accidents with God. God, in his providence, in his plan, he has worked it all out. Now, no man knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven. But God has set the day and the hour. This chart shows basically just a real simple thing about from beginning to end on God's time schedule, okay? From the creation until the day that we're in. Now, we're not so much concerned about the first half of that. You can look at it later. But we're going to start with Jesus, okay? Jesus came to, help me class, see that which was... Amen. So that's the age we're living in. We're living in the age of grace, undeserved favor. And that's the age we're living in. The age that you can be saved by grace through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are y'all young people listening to me? I'm going to teach you something that's going to help you now. And as we live in this age, things are preparing for the next step, and the next step, and the next step. And you can't hardly look at current events. I was looking the past couple of days with Europe. Europe has been invaded by Muslims. Nobody ever would have thought that 100 years ago. Nobody ever would have thought that. But because of liberal politicians who don't believe God's word, don't even believe in God, they've allowed things to change. Now their whole culture's changing. And now where Europe was a Christian group of people, all the European countries had Christian leaders. They had Christian churches, and over the years, as they went into apostasy, and those that claim they believe don't even talk like they believe anymore, now God's allowed the floodgates to open up and the Muslims to flood into Europe. The Muslims always wanted to take over Europe. They failed to take over Europe by war, but now because of these people that used to be Christians have let down the gates, the Muslims have fallen in. Now, you say, well, what's that got to do with age of grace? Well, there's several things about that, and it's happening in America too. Don't believe it's not. If you believe it's not, talk to these people that lived around Flint, Michigan, and Detroit, Michigan. They'll tell you how the Muslims have invaded, and up around Virginia, and there's whole towns and everything. Sharia law is what rules them, which is anti-Christ. But there's several good things about it. Number one, some of those people coming to our country and Europe will be evangelized. Some of them will be saved because there are still some true believers in Europe and in America. So some of those, but the majority will not. The majority will not. They're antagonistic toward the Christian faith, toward the Bible. The Quran teaches them to kill us because we're infidels. All right? Now, because of that, Europe is being set up to where we thought it never would be. We thought Europe would be Christian nations and that we would be a Christian nation. And 200 years ago, 100 years ago, as Bible preachers preached, they had no idea that Islam, the unbelievers, would rule and reign soon, they will, in Europe. And so that changed everything. That changed everything. Russia will eventually, they don't like it and they deny it, but Islam is growing in Russia. It's growing big time. And some of those countries used to be in the Soviet Union, they were already Muslim. And the only reason that they couldn't practice their faith is because the communists were atheists. They didn't allow religion, so the Muslims had to stay quiet. But now communism's gone. The Soviet Union has fallen, and it's Russia and little individual countries. Those countries gone back to Islam, okay? So that's another thing that's changed. And now the Catholic Church, which we know is the false church, and the Catholic Church, which is really the Babylonian church, the priests wear the Babylonian garments, they do the Babylonian practices, they have the Babylonian symbols, the father, that's Babylonian, the nuns, that's Babylonian, the Eucharist, that's Babylonian religion, every bit of it. And so the Catholic Church is now cozying up to the Islam, and they call it Chrislam. No, serious thing. But so now you've got two gigantic groups, the two biggest groups of religious people in the world, Catholicism and Islam, are getting real friendly. Now, the next big thing is the Antichrist has got to show up to rule the world. But before he can do that, we've got to be taken out because God's not going to let us stay in there. So right now we're in the age of grace, and we are waiting. We're waiting right now. We're waiting for that rapture of the church. We're waiting for that marriage feast of the Lamb. But before that, as soon as we are raptured out, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 15, 16, and 17. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, he said. So the next big thing on God's calendar is the removal of the church, our true believers in Jesus Christ. Now, he's got to take us out of the way in order to bring what follows, which is, we call it the Great Tribulation period. The Bible calls it Jacob's 70th week. The Bible calls it Daniel's trouble and all these things. But we call it the rapture. Now, after he takes us out, Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. This is not far away. We see this one happening in the news. It's lining up. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. I'm teaching you about like Sunday school this morning, tonight, but he said in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, he said, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, he's talking about the seals being opened and the horses coming out with the riders on them. Those are prophetic. And he said the seals opened, and out came a man riding a white horse with a bow. Did you notice he didn't have an arrow? Didn't say anything about an arrow. And he went forth to conquer. Well, he didn't conquer by a bow and arrow. It means he was strong. And he is a fake. And what he's going to do, he's going to bring a false peace. He's not going to bring war. He's going to bring peace. He's going to conquer by peace. And he's going to conquer the world by peace. And he's a false Christ is what he is. Because Jesus is the Prince of what? And everything the devil has is the opposite of who? Jesus. It, for everything that God has, the devil has an opposite of it. Just the very opposite. God has light, Satan's in the darkness. Amen. God has love, Satan has hate. God and Satan are two opposites. Now, God sent a Christ, and the devil will send an antichrist, just the opposite of Christ. But at first, he's going to look real good. He's coming to make peace. Is that not what we want? Is that not what you hear on TV news every day? We're trying to get peace in Israel. We're trying to get peace in Palestine. We're trying to get peace in Lebanon. We're trying to get peace in Syria. We're trying to get peace in Iran. We're trying to get peace in Iraq. We're trying to get peace all these places. And have you noticed most of those places are Muslim? You ever thought about that? Now, I got a theory for you, and I don't have scripture for it. It's just theory. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to... It's my opinion, okay? But I believe the Antichrist if the Muslims are going to accept him, which they will, it says that he's going to make peace. If the Muslims are going to have to accept him, he's going to have to be born in a Muslim country, wouldn't you think?
That's right.
If the Jew, and it says the Jew will follow the Antichrist, thinking he's the Christ, if the Jew's going to follow the Antichrist, what's the Antichrist going to have to be in his religion? Jewish. So the only way to put those two together, the theory is, and somebody even came up with some scripture, and I didn't look it up, but said that he could be born a Jew in a Muslim country, probably Syria or one of those countries close to Israel, but he could be of the Jewish faith, born a Muslim. You understand what I'm saying? He's of the Muslim heritage, but he's a Jew. He's of the family not of Abraham, but he's the family of the opposite. Now, you listen to me. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Now, Americans will follow anybody. All he's got to do is walk out and say, peace, peace, peace. And if he walked off a flying saucer, they really would follow him. Amen? But all you got to do is walk around saying, peace, peace, peace. And so now let's put this at the top of your chart. Most of the world that calls itself religion is what? Church. Catholic Church. So the Catholics are going to follow him. So he's a Catholic, Jewish, Arab. Serious, I'm serious. I have no doubt that the Antichrist will be a pope. I have no doubt. Because he's already in charge of the world church, what they call church. So now the next thing that's going to happen is, da-da-da-da, come up hither. And we're changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're out of here. Now, as soon as we're out, this guy comes on the scene. Peace, I got the answer. I can fix Israel. I can fix Lebanon. I can fix the Palestinians. I can fix the Jew. I can fix the Muslim. I can fix the Christian. And if you'll just, hey, if you'll follow me, I'll tell you how to do it. And that, is that not what the world's looking for? That's exactly what the world's looking for. I'm going to fix race relations. I'm going to fix poverty. I'm going to fix religion. That's all he's got to talk about. We almost had one in a president. But I got news for you. Once we're taken out of here, immediately, this guy's going to show up. And we see all these movies and stuff about the rapture and people running around looking for their loved ones. No, sir, the Bible says that God will let them believe a lie. He'll walk out and he'll say, look, I know what happened to those people. And if you'll follow me, we'll get ready because he's coming back to do it again. He's going to take more of our loved ones. So if you follow me, I'm going to tell you how to fix this, and he'll never do this again. Steal our loved ones. You say, that sounds crazy, preacher. He might even say UFOs took them. You know, we got such a big... Science fiction is the biggest selling thing there is now. You never know what he'll say. Amen? So the next thing is the rapture of the church. All right? Now, I want you to look, if you will, after that, I want you to look at Revelations chapter 9, verse 17. He calls us out of here. Revelation 19, 17. I want you to look at this. Revelation 19, 17. I'm sorry, I wrote down the wrong verse. My crazy writing. That's Revelation 19:7. There it is. 19:7. All right. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Who is the Lord's wife? Who's the bride? Who's the bridegroom? Jesus Christ. So as soon as we're taken out of here, there's going to be a marriage supper in heaven. Amen? You ever been to a marriage feast? That's what you have after the marriage. They call it, what do they call it now?
Reception.
But they used to call it marriage feast. After the wedding, they'd have a marriage feast. Everybody'd eat. If most people we know, they have pigs in a blanket. But this is going to be a real feast. Amen. And we find the bride. That's us. Brother Ron, you'll make a good-looking bride. You're kind of homely right now, but when you get up there, that's all that's going to change. You're going to make a good-looking bride. Amen. Amen. I'm going to make a good-looking bride. And once we get up there, listen, we're all going to be dressed in white. And we're going to be presented to Jesus Christ, the bride to the bridegroom. And we're going to have a wedding. And finally, we'll get to see our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. We got married to him today. Well, we got engaged to him today that we got saved. But it's going to be consummated that day. We're finally going to meet our husband. And then we're going to have a big feast. And everybody's going to celebrate in heaven over the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, everybody in heaven ain't part of it. Only those that were saved during the age of grace that we live in now. From the time of the cross till now, the Old Testament saints, if you'll read Revelation, they're a different crowd. They're part of heaven, but they're not going to be in everything that we're in. And the angels are not going to be in it. Certainly the cherubim, seraphims, all those creatures, they're not going to be a part of it. It's going to be a wedding feast. Amen? And so while we're doing that for about 3 years, down here on earth, it's going to be hell on earth. Literally. Hell will be opened up. The river Euphrates will dry up and there'll crack come up in it, and creatures from the deepest hell will crawl up out of the dry bed of the river Euphrates, and some of them will look like scorpions. They have a stinger and they'll sting people, and man will seek death for 6 months and cannot die. He can cut his own throat and he won't die. You can shoot him, he won't die. For 6 months on planet Earth, nobody will die because God is pouring out his wrath and he wants them all to be a part of that wrath. Amen? So, while we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb and we're celebrating, they're down here groaning and moaning and living with sores and boils and a lot like the curses there of Egypt. And they're going to just be miserable. And while God's doing that, though, listen to me, young people. He's not doing that to get you saved. Your time's up. The time of the Gentiles up. He's doing that to get Israel to get saved. It's Jacob's trouble. It's not the Gentiles' trouble. It's time of Jacob's trouble. And so while we're up there in heaven, the time of trouble for Israel really poured out, and now the whole world is affected by it, but it's not for the whole world. It's for them to drive them back to God. You understand what I'm saying? So while we're having a feast, they're down here going through what we call the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. All right? Now, there's so much we can say about that, but I'm trying to get to the end point mostly. But the thing about this is, when that's over, turn to Matthew 24:29. When the marriage feast of supper, marriage supper is over, Matthew 24:29, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Now, that's when he comes back the second time. First time it's rapture, he came to the clouds. Remember Acts chapter 1, whenever he told disciples, "Why stand you gazing up into the clouds?" This same Jesus, he's coming back in the same manner they left. That's the rapture. But then on the second coming, he's coming back. By the way, we'll be the only believers who'll see him. And if you think you're going to get saved after we're gone, you're sadly mistaken. If you don't believe now, it's easier to believe now than it'll be to believe then. And because the Holy Spirit's leaving with us. And no Holy Spirit will draw you. No Holy Spirit will convict you. But we're going to come back with him. Now, he's coming back in all his glory this time to judge the earth. He's not coming back to save people. He's coming back to bring judgment this time. Now, we're coming with him. And what's going to happen is we're going to rule and reign with him. See? Amen. We're going to roll and reign with him. Right now, we don't roll and we don't reign. We're just waiting for that great day of his second coming. There's so much I could get into that about. So then, after he comes back, turn to Revelation chapter 19. After he comes back, Revelation 19, he's coming back in all his glory. Look at verse 15. Revelation 19. Look at verse 15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, listen. When he comes back that time, he's coming with his saints. Look at Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ. How many years? 1,000 years. That's why we call it the millennium. The millennium means 1,000. So we're going to rule and reign. He's coming back to judge, and he's coming back to rule the world. Now listen to me, y'all. Everybody's not going to die then. There's going to be people left. About 1/3 after the tribulation, about 1/3 of the population on planet Earth will survive. About 1/3. Now, those are human beings. They're not saved. And that's why he's got to rule them with a rod of iron. And that's why we got to rule with him. I already asked him for Lancaster. I want Lancaster. And I want a big old rod. Amen. And we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, that's what we call the millennium, the 1,000-year kingdom. Jesus will rule on planet Earth. Now, stop and think about this. These are human beings. Are y'all listening? Nod your head or something if you're listening. Look, these are human beings. They're still having babies. They're not immortal beings. Those that came back with him, us, we will be immortal, eternal beings. We will be changed, translated into different human... the Bible says we'll have a body like his body. Amen. He just appeared in the room. He just show up. There he was. But he could eat and he could drink. He had an eternal transformed body into something supernatural. We'll have that same body, see. And that's how we'll rule with him for those 1,000 years. We won't die during those 1,000 years. We will stay alive and we'll rule with him. We'll have eternal immortality, see. Now, people will live and die. Now, some people say nobody will die during that 1,000 years. I don't know if they will or not, but they may live and die and have children. But I know they're going to keep reproducing, and because we're going to have to rule them. And guess what? Everybody that gets born during that time, you're not born saved then either. You ever thought about that? During that 1,000 years, they're not born saved. And by the way, just because they're obeying the Lord, he's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem in the new temple, and he's going to be the president of the world, the king of the world. And they're going to obey him. They're going to have to. He's ruling with a rod of iron. And there'll be strict penalties for people that don't obey. But don't think they're believers just because they're obeying. They're obeying because they have to. And for 1,000 years, they're having babies. And they're raising families. And those babies are having babies. And those babies are having babies. Think about it. 1,000 years, how many people can be born in 1,000 years? But they're not believers just because they're obeying him. He's sitting on the throne. He's making them obey. They'll still have a choice. They can believe or not believe. They can believe he's the Lord and he's the King of Kings and he's the Savior. Or they can reject him. They can. And during that 1,000 years, think of the millions, if not billions of people that would be born in 1,000 years. And we're reigning with him. We're ruling with him. Every one of us is going to be kings and priests during that 1,000 years. Now that's exciting, isn't it? But it's also scary if you think about all those other people being born and they're not saved. They're not saved. And people usually don't mention that when they mention the millennial reign of Christ. They don't talk about that. And so now, if everybody born during that time was saved, then you wouldn't need another judgment, would you?
That's right.
But there's another judgment coming.
That's right.
At the end of that 1,000 years, there's another judgment coming. Look at Revelation 20, verse 10, 11, and 12. Revelation 20, verse 10, 11, and 12. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We just stop and shout right there for a minute or two. Amen. Oh, devil. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. Found for who? Help me, class. Who? Where was there no place found for? The heaven and the earth. The heaven and the earth fled away. The skies, the stars, the moon, the earth, everything fled away. And let's say verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, I'm going to stop on that book of life. And this is not my sermon, but I'm going to tell you. Some people mistake the book of life for the Lamb's book of life. That's two different things. Everybody that's ever been born, their name's in the book of life. That's why he says over here, if you take away from his word, he'll take your name out of the book of life. Now, once you get saved, yes, your name is in the book of life. You were born, but now your name's also in the Lamb's book of life. Now, those who are not saved, their name's in the book of life. Everybody's ever been born is in that book. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay, that's what he's talking about here. He said another book was opened. The books were opened. The Lamb's book of life, the book of life. There's also a book, when it says books, there's a book of their works. See? Now, we're not in this judgment. We were judged at the judgment seat of Christ 1,007 years before this. So we're not in this book. Only lost people are in this book. And by the way, when the heaven and earth fled away, where'd all them billions of people go? They're standing out in the middle of nowhere. You say, that's impossible. Well, they said heaven and earth fled away. They're standing before God. They're in eternity future. They're standing out in the presence of God there, see. Now, look at verse 12 again. I saw the dead and small and great stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books, according to their works. Now, the Lamb's book wasn't in that crowd. Our book was way back there, 1,007 years before that. Do y'all understand that? We're not judged with the lost people. We're judged for our works for reward. These people are being judged for their works for punishment. Okay? And he goes on to say that. Those things which were written in the books according to their what? And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged of every man according to their what? We're not judged according to our works. We're judged by the blood of Jesus Christ. All our works are under the blood. Amen? And death and hell were cast into the what? Where's the lake of fire at? No, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. I'd say it was sun, wouldn't you? It never burns out. It's a lake of fire. It's gas. That's all it is. There's no mass other than gas to the sun. And it's big enough for about 8 billion Earths to be cast into it. Think about that. Now, this is the what? Second death. Now, they died physically once. But then they was alive when the earth fled away and the heavens folded. They were alive. And then they died. And now they're cast in the lake of fire. And that's called the second death, where you never die. You live and die and live and die and live and die forever. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the what? Now, you got saved. You got your name put in the Lamb's book of life. And if your name was, if your name was taken out of the book of life here, that means your life's ended. That's it.
Yeah.
You're done. All right? Now, so for 1,000 years, then the earth's going to be cast, going to be burned up. Okay? Now, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're way over here at the end. My time's up anyway. 2 Peter chapter 3. Am I confusing you yet? All right. If I am, I don't mean to. I'm trying to. Revelation, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens shall what? Pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall what? With a fervent heat, the earth also and the works therein shall be what? Burn up. Seeing then that all these things shall be what? What manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Now, there is the end of planet earth as we know it. Revelation 21. There is an end to this earth. By the way, nuclear bombs ain't going to do it. You couldn't make enough nuclear bombs to blow planet Earth up. I don't care what those eggheads tell you on television. It's not true. We can't even blow up the piece of Earth we live on. It's solid rock under here. You can't blow all that up. You can't do it. All right, look at Revelation 21. Look at verse 1. I saw a what? And a what? For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's us. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "The tabernacle of God, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things what?"
New.
Amen. He said, write this, for these words are true and faithful. Now, people usually stop with the rapture. And then the ones that go to the tribulation period, they emphasize all these things and turn them into tanks and helicopters and junk like that. But tribulation period is supernatural. It's something man's never seen. And then to those that do that, then they'll come to the second coming and the setting up of the kingdom of God on earth for 1,000 years. But very seldom do you ever hear anybody go to the new heaven and the new earth. That's why the Jehovah's Witness can come to your house and confuse you on these passages of Scripture. You'll hear these verses read at a funeral. And that preacher will tell you that these people went there. No, nobody's went there. It's not been created yet. There will be a new heaven and a new earth where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more crying. That is true in heaven, yes, but in heaven it's temporary. We're going to have a new earth and there will be no human beings living on planet Earth. You did not see, you will not find a verse where anybody is ever born on a new planet Earth.
Amen.
It's only populated by those who were saved by the grace of God. And they've been transformed or translated, whatever word might be, into eternal, supernatural, immortal beings. And it'll be a place where there's no more sin.
That's right.
Because sin produces pain, heartache, sickness, tears, crying, those things, death. There'll be no more sin. Now, the only way there can be no more sins be no more human beings.
Right.
Only the redeemed of the Lord. Those who've been saved by the grace of God, been changed by the grace of God, and now we will be like Him. Now, we won't have to rule and reign on the new earth. Now, during the millennium, we'll have to help Him rule and reign because you got lost people being born every day. But on the new earth, there's nobody being born. And all of us will have the same mind, the same spirit, the same heart, the same desires, the same holiness, the same purity, the same Savior, the same Father, and we'll dwell in peace forevermore. You won't need laws anymore. You won't need anybody to rule anymore. Jesus will be on the throne. You can go visit Him. The New Jerusalem's coming down. We can go back and forth to the New Jerusalem. Amen.
Yes.
Boy, that's exciting. Now, that's the timetable of God. He came. He lived. He died. We live in after His resurrection. That's the age of grace. God gives us grace, undeserved favor, undeserved love. But one day He's going to come back and change us. And He's going to take us up out of here. And we're going to marry Him, be one with Him forever. And then we'll have new bodies. And then we're coming back with Him. And we come back with Him, we're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And all those 1,000 years, billions of people are going to be born. And some will not believe, or there wouldn't need to be another judgment. People say, well, if I see it, I believe it. Not true. Not true. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, He said, okay, time's up. I've given you enough time. Now, I'm just going to start over. And the earth's going to melt. And the heaven's going to melt. And everything that ever had sin in it. By the way, heaven's had sin in it. Where do you think Satan came from? Lucifer was created in heaven. He was cast out of heaven. Heaven been tainted by him. So there'll be a new heaven and new earth. He said this, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Won't that be good? You'll be able to go to Walmart and won't hear nobody cuss. The glorified Walmart, I'm sorry. There won't be no secondhand smoke. All that will burn up when it's cast into the lake of fire. There won't be no more hate, envy, lust, greed. Amen? Now, until then, He said, occupy till I come. You stay right where you at. And you brighten the little corner you in. You make a little heaven on earth where you are. And He'll reward you for it. But then one day, the whole brand new earth, world, will be perfect. By the way, there won't be any more briars on the no more thorns on the roses. No more briars on the blackberries. Glory to God. Everything will be made new. No more pain, sickness, death. Ain't that good?
Yes,
we're supposed to believe this stuff. Now, I know there's all kinds of scriptures I could have used, and I'm sure some of you theologians have been running few in your mind, but it'd take all night if we got them all. So, you know what we'll do out of tonight? We'll walk out of here with victory.
Amen.
And you'll say, look, this ain't the best I'm ever going to have it. Amen. Heaven ain't even the best I'm going to have. It's even going to get better than that. Amen. Amen. But one day, God will fix it all. Now, if you're not saved, that'll scare you. Because He said, at any time, any hour, you know not when the thief, He calls Himself a thief, He's going to snatch us out. You never know when the thief's going to come. You better get ready. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Pure